Good evening, folks. Well, you would think with the Earth's magnetic poles moving around like crazy, or with the sun descending into record low levels of activity for the modern era, that our government would have, of course, our best interests at heart, would be preparing, and would naturally have, a massive stockpile of food ready to keep us safe in case these crop failures continue, because they're already happening. And you would be wrong, because in actuality, the U.S. has zero strategic grain reserves. And it hasn't for some time. We're going to talk about that. I'm Christian, and this is the Ice Age Farmer Channel. I want to first share, as I watched this latest front roll across the nation last night, bringing a latest round of heavy precipitation to the Midwest, and they were just nailed by that storm over the weekend that brought record 6 feet of snow to Montana, 100-year records. So people were being flooded out of their fields in many cases. Here we see a seed corn harvest making waves, trying to get the corn out of the ground before the farm is lost to the deluge. And so it's happening, folks. We are having a wet, for the Midwest at least, is having a very wet fall right now that is causing problems with their growing season, just as we had a very wet spring that delayed to the latest planting on record. So this is having a ton of problems, and among the reports I heard yesterday were that folks who were working in fields like this had just planted, in many cases, their cover crop seeds for the winter. And so these set of storms, this was just impeccably poorly timed, washing away a ton of their cover crop seeds. Now this is a problem because it builds upon, this is one of these cascading failure situation. This builds upon the cover crop shortage, seed shortage that I'd already mentioned and covered in a previous video. And I'll, just as a reminder, read some of this. A lot of the eyes have been on the commercial corn crop this season, but less visible have been the struggles of seed companies and their contract seed growers to plant corn and soybeans for seed production. They also, after all, endured a historically late and challenging planting season, and the next year's crop relies upon their success now. And I wanted to note, seed companies we see here only keep about 30% to 40% of their crop in inventory, which means they turn it over nearly every other year for corn. Soybeans don't even, you don't keep them past one season. So it's even more important to get those soybean seeds out of the ground. We were shipping out some substitutions, hybrids, earlier hybrids, because we ran out of our full season hybrids. And especially in the eastern corn belt, the heaviest returns from I-80 corridor, all from Illinois, Indiana, and into Ohio. And then down here, as a result, supplies could be tight for these hybrids next year. So we've cannibalized our own seed corn for next year because we pilfered the coffers in 2019. And, you know, this is not highly localized. This is happening in various places in various different ways. There have been hay shortages, feed shortages. Here's from New York. Yep. Officials prepare for possible crop shortages and seek support. We are seeking assistance for what could be an eventual shortage of crops due to the excessive rain and cold weather. Again, these are articles from over the summer that are going to explain here that we're already in a bad situation with respect to cover crop seeds. The weather delayed crop planting, especially corn, and limited the number of seedlings that could grow. There's a serious concern that in fall, i.e. come now, we could have farms that are short on feed, or they can't feed their animals. This impacts more than just farmers, it's everybody. Similarly, here out of Illinois, farmers may feel the hay supply pinch. A tough winter for alfalfa and the wild, wet spring weather are making hay quality and accessibility poor this year. The prices are already high for the livestock guy, and then way down at the bottom, the take-home quote this year is that hay and feed will be vastly different than most years. And the reason is because corn hasn't had as much of a chance, and so it's not going to pack in the usual nutrients. So there's less of it, and what you do get doesn't even go anywhere towards feeding your animals. And this is setting the stage for silage and feed shortages and price increases. This is why you already see seed corn prices spiking as we enter the end of the season here. So let's talk about the cover crop seeds specifically. When the USDA approved the prevented plant acres and cover crop plantings back on September, folks scurried to get their cover crop seeds, and in some cases, they were met with seed companies saying, sorry, we don't have seeds right now. Here's some of those reports. Cover crops are in short supply. And here from Farm Week Now, farmers advised to order cover crop seed now in advance of the shortage. Tight supply, high demand, leading to steep prices for some. And I just want to share this again because this is such a perfect example of the cascading failures that you can continue to expect. Earlier weather hit southern states and reduced the harvest of the annuals for cover crop supply. Compounding that situation, a tough winter caused a forage shortage after it didn't survive the winter, didn't overwinter. Then farmers who were looking for that forage instead dipped into their cover crop seed, right? Again, they cannibalized their own seed supply. And then in the spring, when excessive rain and flooding costs prevented planting, five times the record prevent plant, farmers scrambled for cover crop seed ahead of this traditional need for it now. So as a result, seed companies were saying, dude, order your seeds now. There's going to be a shortage. And now we're at that point, particularly when, as the cover crops are being planted, they're washed away by these storms. And so that's why I can't emphasize enough to you how concerned the producers are that I'm hearing from about whether or not they're even going to be able to get a crop in the ground at this point. It's getting cold and wet fast, and it's there's a lot of alarm, frankly. Okay, back here. Now, stepping back from that immediate situation, from what's happening on the ground right now, and what bodes pretty poorly for the future, the immediate future, the U.S. has already been issuing reports. The USDA was just advising global wheat production is going to be declining. I recommend you listen to folks like Arlen Suderman, who just did a great little webinar. It's totally free. You can just sign up for it and listen. Briefly, I'll just share with you some of the highlights from that industry expectations for where the corn stocks were. Nobody expected them to be this low. The USDA actually marked down last year's numbers in some cases. So they can do that. They can retroactively change last year's numbers so that this year's difference doesn't look as pronounced. And it's really just a sly way of hiding the decline in production. So the same is true of soybeans. Expectations were somewhere up here. And then the actual government forecast, NAS forecast, was way down here. And so as folks across multiple states are warning us that they will run out of food for their animals, and with the USDA rewriting history, with corn disappearing, with reality coming in way underneath expectations consistently, with the UN and the European Commission warning that we're all going to starve in a few years due to climate change if we don't change our farming practices, you would expect that the government would set something up, have some reserve of food, of grains, for farmers to feed their animals, for the population to be able to eat. After all, we just saw China dip into their state pork reserve and pull out 10,000 tons after African swine fever has killed off 1 in 5 pigs globally. We saw the Quebecois maple producers dip into their strategic maple syrup reserve after unusually late snow and cold. We saw Italy dip into their strategic olive oil reserves after unusual frosts killed off tons of olive trees and dropped their olive harvest. So surely we've got something. I mean, after all, we're seeing headlines like the global wheat supply is reaching crisis levels. So I know I can trust the U.S. government to... No, we already know we can't. And what happened was gradually it was whittled away. It was rendered into this trust that was authorized to hold, instead of physical grains, cash and commodities line items on it. As the author here from a Los Angeles Times article, this is not, you know, fake news. This is straight from mainstream sources here. Quote, "And so the grain that once stabilized prices for farmers, bakers, and American consumers ended up as a number on a spreadsheet in the Department of Agriculture. Now, as the U.S. must confront climate change, commodity markets riddled by speculation, increased import costs, hosts of regional conflicts, and the return of international grain tariffs and export bans, we have opted to put our faith entirely in the transnational agribusiness and the global grain market. History," he concludes, "is not on our side." And I would agree, this is a ridiculous proposition. It was done by people who have been whittling away every aspect of the wealth of this nation, but that's a different video entirely. And so it is true, the U.S. holds no strategic grain reserves. I like how, I'll just observe, sorry to switch around, they use a nice passive tense. In 2008, during the global food price spike, the remaining commodities were sold. So it doesn't really, no one's taking credit for this amazing accomplishment. Just notice it's, they were sold. If you look into, here's the actual bill of, whatever, just the announcement authorizing the sale by the Secretary of Agriculture. So this was one of the last acts of the W administration on his way out. And what this all reminds me of is, I just want to mention this again, the Great Chinese Famine and their illusion of superabundance, which is here. When the party began to export grains to everyone, even as their own production fell, they just, we're fine here. It could never happen here, they thought. Stocks were falling, but they continued exporting anyway. Until they thought that, until tens of millions of people died because of food shortages. And it's this illusion of superabundance, more so than the actual losses. It's the psychology of people who get into this mindset of, I don't have to worry about this stuff. It's all, someone else is taking care of it for me. It couldn't be further from the truth. Folks, right now, you need to be learning how to grow your own food, how to save your own seeds, how to share those seeds with your neighbors and build a community around you of people who are interested in securing your families and your food supply and your way of life. The USDA is also, just a couple brief additions here, the USDA is also actively restricting importing seeds right now. Tomato and pepper prices will spike from seed import restrictions enacted by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Quote, "There will be less seed, so when you go buy tomatoes, they're not going to be $1.99, they're going to be a lot more expensive," according to this gentleman. And I also wanted to say, I'd love to cover this in more detail, but I think the message tonight has been more important. And plus, this has been covered pretty widely. But I wanted to mention the Dutch farmers that were taking to the streets. You know, the government has been saying it's global warming is the farmers' fault. And so these guys all came out on their farmers to go protest, and they shut down a ton of the highways. There's a, like I said, there's a lot of coverage of this, so you can go look at that coverage. But I wanted to mention here that this is the latest example of farmers and of people that are revolting for, you know, social unrest as a function of the collapse of modern agriculture. And we saw also the olive growers, who I mentioned only a few minutes ago, when their olive production collapsed due to the unseasonable frosts. And they took to the streets and ran to the government, donning orange vests to demand a bailout. And as we know here on the Ice Age Farmer channel, while you can print more money, you can't print food. And they did print money for these guys. They got a bailout. So folks, that's all I wanted to mention tonight. Folks around here are, this is what you're seeing now after the public safety power shutoffs that I mentioned in yesterday's video about PG&E. These sorts of things are going up. And actually, I'm glad that people are being incentivized to prepare. That's good. Because those of us who had generators lasted a bit longer, and then those of us who have rotations of gasoline were able, it didn't matter at all because our power came back within 3 days. But I will just share that I heard most of those generators go offline after that first 24 hours, and then the gas stations weren't pumping So you had to drive a ways to get gas or just wait it out. In response to a few questions I got on that video, that's how the generator situation played out. And then I should also mention that SolarC, which is the EMP-proof solar system, I've got the 8K, I've done some videos on this already, but this thing kept running flawlessly. I was able to run all loads without any problems, except for the air conditioner, of course. And I can't say enough good things about this system. It lets me, it's very flexible. When the grid is up, I can flip it to a mode that lets me pull as much power as I want to charge my batteries, or I can keep it in a mode that lets me sort of use the battery to minimize cost savings. So it's like you have just at the switch of a button, you can go from save me money mode to get every bit of energy you can from anywhere. And, you know, this is what I need to survive right now. And I really have a lot of respect for the guys over there. Tom at SolarC has been fantastic. And if you give these guys a call, and I do recommend that you do so, mention my name, Christian at Ice Age Farmer, and they'll knock a few hundred bucks off the price. So I can't say enough about these guys. But bottom line, folks, even if you go out and you get a nice system for your house, it's more about the people around you. And what I've experienced over the past weeks here has really driven that home. So be building communities more than anything else, and planting food. And that's the way forward. We're going to build a better future together. So let's do it, folks. Thanks for watching. Let's go grow and build great things.